Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Today's show snuck up on me. It's 12:05 before you knew it. It was almost unexpected how quickly it was upon us. Speaking of unexpected, the big news of the day, and this will come to a shock to people who really thought Joe Biden, with all his expertise, was going to usher in a wonderful economy, and it was just going to be rainbows and butterflies. Well, the jobs report is a wee bit disappointing, to put it mildly.
As Barack says, a three-letter word, jobs, J-O-B-S.
Yeah, it's the jobs report is out and it's not good. There's going to be plenty of headlines for Howie's stack of stuff where he collects all the unexpected headlines because no one saw this one coming. This is from the New York Post. The U.S. added just 194,000 jobs last month, falling far short of expectations. How far short? Didn't even crack half of what we expected. We expected 500,000, did not even crack half. And the interesting part about this, there's so many interesting parts, but one thing I particularly find ironic is that just yesterday, Joe Biden was in Chicago bragging about his vaccine mandates and how effective they are. And the reason they're so effective is because he's laying a lot of people off. You know, if you don't get the vaccine, you get fired. And then guess what? Your company's vaccination rate goes up. Because if you're not there anymore, then there's more people vaccinated than unvaccinated. It's funny how that works. So just yesterday, he's talking about this in Chicago. And don't get me wrong. There's plenty from this speech yesterday. I almost feel like, be careful what you wish for, Grace. Like, that's what I keep telling myself. I complain that he doesn't talk as much as Trump did. And then once he starts, I realize when it rains, it pours. You know, I can't handle all of this Biden sound at once. And now we're awaiting him to come out and talk about this jobs report. And P.S., if you want a sneak peek of what you were going to hear, I can almost definitely tell you 4 points. He's going to blame. It's going to be a blame game. Well, actually, Jared and I were discussing this. There's two routes he can go here. One is the blame game, which I think he will go towards. Two is he can try to spin it like these are good numbers. That is getting increasingly more tough because the numbers keep getting worse. And when you have like CNN and MSNBC and all these places coming out and even saying, wow, these are breathtakingly bad numbers, it's hard to sugarcoat that. He could try. He's done it before. He's a master of spin. In fact, he's spinning so much he has no idea where he is. So he could try that. But I think the more reasonable scenario here that we can expect is he's going to come out and he's going to blame Ron DeSantis at some point, the Delta variant, obviously, and the media will back him out on that because they also say that all of this is because of Delta. People are scared. Delta's looming. The virus continues. No one wants to go to work because they're scared there won't be enough plexiglass and masks and yada, yada, yada. That's number two. Number three, he will blame Donald Trump. You can almost guarantee that when numbers are this bad, he will blame Orange Man. And I don't know how that plays with people anymore. Based off Joe Biden's polling, I'm going to say people aren't buying that as much. A lot of writers have pointed out that just not being Donald Trump is no longer enough for Joe Biden. It was enough to get him elected, but Trump has been out of office for quite a bit of time now, and Joe was telling us he was going to shut down the virus, and he was going to revive the economy, and he was going to do all of these things. So then when we hear that it's all Trump's fault, you do have to think, well, You said you had a plan. You were the man with the plan. You were the man who was going to fix all of this. Now, I do want to play this cut of him yesterday because I don't know how he's going to turn this around. He goes one day bragging about how, yeah, you know, everyone's getting laid off, but the vaccination rates are getting higher. So don't pay attention to these headlines you read about people losing their jobs. Did I summarize that correctly? Because coming out of my mouth, it sounds nuts that someone, the president, not someone, the president of the United States is openly boasting about how many people are getting fired. He's doing it in such an eloquent way as well. I should add that in. The speech yesterday was a whopper of a speech. And, you know, I always do this. It's like I just want to talk and talk and talk about the craziness of the speech, but we got to play at least one cut here. Let's play Joe Biden bragging about the vaccination rates and how the mandates are working.
You know, when I first started the vaccination program, and we got all that vaccine enough for everyone. We're vaccinating 3 million people a day. We're getting very close before things began to slow down. The economy is growing, leaps and bounds.
The economy is growing, leaps and bounds. Some people would beg to differ. Let's play cut 14.
These requirements work. And as the Business Roundtable and others told me, when I announced the first requirement, that encouraged businesses to feel they could come in and demand the same thing of their employees. More people are getting vaccinated. More lives are being saved. Let's be clear. When you see headlines and reports of mass firings and hundreds of people losing their jobs, look at the bigger story.
Look at the bigger story. And then he goes on to say that the bigger story is that United went from 59% of their employees vaccinated to 99%. And Taylor this morning was talking to me about this, and he was absolutely right. And in fact, Bonchi puts it in another way, too. We're giving analogies of how this math works. It's like, oh, yeah, we got rid of all of these people, so our percentage has gone up. But Bonchi says, the only reason the rate of vaccination went up among workers at United Airlines is that those that were fired or laid off are no longer there. That's like cutting off your legs and then bragging that all of your extremities now have thumbs. You still need legs. Businesses need employees. More importantly, employees need to make a living. Now, this is yesterday. This is pre-jobs report. So clearly he did not, I don't know if he didn't sense that this was coming. Obviously, he didn't sense it. I mean, he doesn't sense, you know, what lunch
my
is
mind's going
be.
Blank now.
But it will be interesting to see him kind of try to turn around from that. Now, there was a lot more. And a common thing I say, and it's because I heard this from Tucker Carlson, and I think it was during the campaign. I think it was pre-Biden becoming our president, which I shudder now when I think about those days. But he said something along the lines of, my scorn has turned to pity about Joe Biden. In other words, I can't even hate him because I just feel bad for him. And I think we all do have moments like that with Joe Biden. But what I've realized now is I'm in a fluctuation state. I fluctuate between scorn and pity. And depending on the clip that I see on Twitter or that they play on Fox, depending on the clip, I can be one side or the other, but it's always somewhere in between those two, scorn and pity. Now, when I hear him bragging about people getting laid off because it makes his stupid mandate system seem like a good idea and seem successful, it's the only success he's had thus far, I have scorn because it's repulsive. As Bonchi writes in Red State, it is worse, he actually bragged about getting people fired, claiming that it helped raise vaccination rates by subtraction. When's the last time you heard a president brag about putting Americans out of a job? He goes on to call it morally repulsive, and I agree. But then I hear a cut like this, and you know what? I'm transported right back to pity. Cut 15.
And the Ohio, Pennsylvania, I'm from Pennsylvania, the Illinois president of Don Harmon, State Senator Laura Murphy, State Rep Martin Moylan, and we got great labor leaders here, too. Tim, where's Tim? There you go, Tim, thank you. Thank you, pal.
AFL-CIO state president, and Jeff Isaacson, United Brothers of Carpenters, and Don Finn, IBEW, and Robert Reiter, Reiter, Chicago Federation of Labor. And folks, that's how we beat COVID-19.
By rambling incoherently and spelling out people's last names. Is that how we beat COVID-19? If that is the case, then Jared Diglio, D-I.
Right.
I might get it wrong, so I don't even want to go there. But
that's all right. That's in the vein of what's going on here.
I didn't know that's how we beat COVID-19.
I did not either. Everybody, go outside. Start chanting names. COVID will be gone.
He really, and I just want to hone in on this one part. Him reading the spelling of that guy's last name is so frightening to me. And I don't even know why. I really don't. I don't know why that strikes me as so bizarre. But it's when Joe Biden first started running for president, and I would have this conversation with people about his mental decline, something that a lot of people would say to me, especially people who have had relatives with dementia, is a part of the process is you get very frustrated because you know what you want to say, but your body and your mind and your mouth can't do it. And it makes sense that the next step is to be very aggravated. And there's a little bit of that in there where he's like getting mad at himself. And it's like, oh, yeah, obviously Reiter. And then he has to spell it out for people. That's a pity moment. You know, I feel like I should have stickers and just put them on each one. Pity, scorn, scorn, scorn. But that's a pity moment because he looks so feeble and so old and he shouldn't be out there. And remember Rachel Campos Duffy from Fox said at one point that Jill Biden should be ashamed of herself for allowing this man, her husband, who she's supposed to care about, run for president when he is so obviously incapable of running a country. And Rachel Campos Duffy was like on the brink of cancellation. Like the Biden administration was demanding an apology from Fox News. She was absolutely right. This is indefensible. This is so sad to watch this man get up there and try to go through names. The names for him are the hardest part. Seems like he feels most at home when he's telling anecdotes about how he helped his friend's wife skip the line at hospitals. And that's the funniest part about it is because when he's saying names, you can tell that's the least enjoyable for him. Because it's really, you can feel, you can see the wheel spinning. Like he's really trying to chug through these names. That's why he does it so fast. It's like a roller coaster. It gets fast at some points when he thinks, oh, I've got this one. And then it slows down a bit. So the names are hard for him. But the anecdotes is where he feels most at home. And I know his staff is watching when he goes into these anecdotes. And they're like, oh my God, no. Please, sir. Please do not do this. But he can't help himself. I don't know if that hospital story, and we'll get to it after the break. I don't know if Neil Kinnock used that at some point and it played well with the audience, but I don't think he read the room right if he thought that story was going to blow people away. And then what we will really get to after the break, which I know people are going to love because it's Friday and we're going to have some fun. We are getting to the saboteur because for months I have been saying there's a saboteur in this Biden administration, and I was proven correct yet again with that speech yesterday. There was one part of this someone wrote into his transcript that leads me to believe that his speechwriters are out to get him. We will play that after the break. Eden Pure is extending the BOGO offer for an extra week with over 100,000 sold and counting. The thunderstorm is sweeping the nation because people everywhere are raving about how well it works to get rid of odors, kill mold and mildew, and to freshen the air. It starts working in a matter of minutes to cleanse the air in your home and to help you start breathing better. Jared, you love the thunderstorm for so many reasons. One, for your allergies. Two, for your comic books.
Yes, I have, I will say, an extensive comic book collection and a lot of older books. And of course, older books, you know, they have that kind of paper smell and that can really sort of stack up if you got a bunch of them. So I plug in the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. turn it on, and that old paper smell is gone, so I'm comfortably breathing nice air while reading my comic books.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people do use this in their basements. I know Taylor uses it there, but it's a great place if you want to keep the air circulating and keep a room feeling very clean and fresh and smelling good. So go to EdenPureDeals.com, put in code word GRACEBOGO. Right now, you can get a BOGO for my listeners. That means buy one, get one. Pet, kitchen, paint smells. We've had all of that in our office, and this machine works wonders. It gets rid of those smells in no time. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACEBOGO. Hurry, these will sell out quickly, so don't delay. This offer ends Sunday, October 10th at midnight. Shipping is free. Don't forget, code word GRACEBOGO. When we get back for this full hour, we're going to take your calls. And you know what my question is for the listeners? Are you surprised by the jobs report? And if so, please explain why. I want to know where this unexpectedness comes from. 844-500-4242. This is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. Grace Curley is your perfect lunch date.
Bread, $2 extra.
$2, but everyone in front of me got free bread.
You want bread?
Yes, please.
$3!
What?
No soup for you!
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Feel free to call in and weigh in on the unexpected jobs report. There's also some news about Joe Manchin. I don't know if people saw this. It's breaking the internet because of the meme likeness of this, but I don't know if it's picking up as much traction on the news, really. But Chuck Schumer was taking a victory lap about the debt ceiling and how they managed to kind of come together. And he just blasts Republicans throughout the whole thing. It was really classless. He just goes into, we were coming towards the edge of a cliff. And I want to thank my Democratic colleagues for saving us from the cliff that Republicans were going to push us over. And as he's talking, Joe Manchin just has his hands in his face and he is just, you know, disgusted. And you can watch him say, this is crazy to one of his colleagues. And then he leaves. He couldn't even sit through Chuck Schumer's virtue signaling grandstanding. And I really think that Joe Manchin is becoming the most relatable man in America, because that's how most people feel, not just when they're listening to Chuck Schumer, but when they're listening to any politician today. It's like, all right, wrap it up. Like, what are you even going on about? You're pitting one side against the other. You're talking about how doomed we all are. You're talking about how everyone's on a cliff. You notice that? That's a popular thing. We're always on cliffs. No one's buying it. It's like, give it a rest, Schumer. Give it a rest. So if you haven't seen that, that's a funny video to watch. But the big story is the jobs report. And there's also another strange story, though, I should say here. And we'll talk about this if people want to. We were reporting yesterday about a shooting in Texas, a school shooting. And it turns out that a young man, the suspect, Timothy Simpkins, shot four people, I think. He injured four people. Two of them are in the hospital. And he's already out on bail today. Isn't that wild? We'll get into that. That's just, you know, it's sad state of affairs. Today's poll question is brought to you by McConnell's Irish Whiskey. After a long 100 years, McConnell's Irish Whiskey has been restored and can be found at the finest establishments from Belfast to Boston. That's McConnell's Irish Whiskey. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who was hit hardest by the unexpected jobs numbers? CNBC, CNN, or Maria Bartiromo?
I think CNBC. Can we play that cut? I think that it seemed like this one took a lot out of them.
Things are coming down pretty rapidly. We just have this jobs report. Steve, what do you see?
194.
Whoa.
I see 194,000. That is real low.
Yeah.
Quote Keanu Reeves.
Whoa, man. This is low. Yeah. And do we got CNN? Should we play that one too?
Sure.
This is CNN.
Brand new jobs report, a look at the state of the economy. Chief business correspondent Christine Romans with the new details. What does it say?
All right, let me just run through the top line numbers for you here, John, because it's a real brain teaser. 194,000 net new jobs added, way less than anybody expected.
All right,
and
so
less than last month and the worst of the year.
I'm voting CNBC.
CNBC is in second place at 17%, 67% for CNN, and Maria Bartiromo, 17%.
All right, we'll be right back with your calls, 844-500-4242. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
At jobs in America this morning, the September jobs report is out. The economy added 194,000 jobs for the month of September. That missed economists' expectations. They were calling for job creation of 500,000.
Maria Bartiromo doesn't seem all that surprised. It's almost like she expected this. It's not as unexpected for her. I don't know why. Probably because she has ties to that evil Fox News. Anyway, this story that I mentioned before definitely deserves some airtime. Arlington school shooter is released on bond. When I saw this headline in the Daily Mail, because that's the only place you can get stories about what's happening here in the United States, is in the Daily Mail, a UK tabloid. It said the teenage gunman who opened fire in an Arlington, Texas school on Wednesday celebrated at home after being released on a $75,000 bond while his victims, a 15-year-old boy and a 25-year-old teacher, remained in the hospital, one of them clinging to life. On Wednesday, he pulled a gun. See, originally, when we saw the headlines about this yesterday, we thought it was a school shooting where someone came in and, you know, had similar to what we saw in Parkland, those horrible situations. And then when we found out that it was this young 15-year-old black man, all of a sudden the news stopped. Nobody was talking about it anymore. Do you notice that? It was weird. It was a weird thing.
It's funny how that happens.
It did not take over CNN or MSNBC. It just didn't fit their narrative. He pulled a gun from his backpack and shot a 15-year-old boy 7 or 8 times. He shot teacher Calvin Petit in the back and grazed a teenage girl before going on the run. Hours later, one of his relatives boasted on social media that he was already home and shared videos from a family gathering inside a home. He was shown holding a baby, standing in the kitchen, chatting to relatives. Meanwhile, the teacher, who was shot because he tried to break up the fight, remained in the hospital with a bullet in his shoulder that narrowly missed his heart. The 15-year-old boy, who has not been named, is also in the hospital in critical condition. The teacher's sister, upon learning the shooter had been released, tweeted, How can this keep managing to get worse? That's the justice system at work, I guess. It's insane. And you're not going to hear about this really anywhere except for maybe Fox News. But I have a feeling the rest of the channels, the ABC News networks, are going to leave this one behind. Now, I did mention the saboteur, and I do want to talk about this. Joe Biden gave a speech yesterday in Chicago, and it was just full of very strange rants. We found out that the way we can take on COVID is by naming everyone in the room with us and spelling out their last names, which is good to know. Wish I had known it 2 years ago. And we also got a little taste of Joe Biden speaking French. Now, Jared, before we play this, beyond the saboteur aspects of this, do you notice that this comes on the heels of a one John Kerry speaking French?
Well, they're best friends, according to Jen Psaki.
They're best friends. I don't know
naturally.
If John Kerry, maybe while he was telling him about the submarine deal, he also mentioned, hey, try to weave in some French. It plays well with the crowds.
It's quel bon.
It's, oh, oui, oui, it's magnifique. That could be the reason why he decided to do this. But he was reading off a teleprompter. I'm gonna preface it with that. Cut 16.
And the reason most people in America don't worry about polio, measles, mumps, rubella, is because they've been vaccinated. I don't quite get this, you know, why it's a matter of no violation of your right to be able to go to school or get a job, to have, et cetera. But now, It's a great cause celebre.
Oh, come on, man. You got to try at least.
What about Brett Favre?
He's not. You know what the thing with French is, and I feel like I can say this because I was in the French immersion. People might not know this about me. I was in the French immersion program in Milton, so I feel like I'm good at this. You have to commit, and you're either going to commit or you're not going to commit. And that was always my problem in French, is that I always felt kind of goofy going, you know, the full Monty. My mom she majored in French, and she would sit with me at the kitchen table. And there'd be like a word, like sacrebleu. And she'd be like, you have to sacrebleu. And she'd really go for it. And I'd be like, Mom, I'm never going to say it like that. It just makes me cringe. John Kerry went for it. Père habitant. He really committed.
Zut alors.
The cause célèbre. Let's hear it again. It just, you know what? He didn't go the full way with it.
Your right to be able to go to school or get a job, to have, et cetera. But now? It's a great cause célèbre.
Yeah.
Cause célèbre.
Now, what's not a cause célèbre is the story that Biden told. He's a man full of anecdotes. And most of these anecdotes are from hundreds of years ago. You know, like they're about his father, his grandfather, corn pop. There's all sorts of pops. There's grandpop. There's corn pop. So most of them, it's hard to track down because how can we verify that something Joe Biden says happened 75 years ago actually happened? We can't. But this recent story he told was not from far away. This was, I think, obviously within the last, well, you know what? I'll let Joe tell the story. He's the storyteller here. Cut 12.
A good friend had called and he had rushed his significant other to the emergency room because this woman was having trouble breathing, had a high fever, and could not really catch her breath. And they got her into the hospital, but the waiting room was so crowded, things were so backed up, they couldn't even get her to be seen initially. So because I knew this person, I called the desk, the receiving nurse, and asked what the situation was. And has anyone even, and by the way, I wasn't complaining because they're getting the living hell kicked out of them, by the way. Doctors and nurses, some of them are just, they're running dry. I really mean it. They're getting the living hell kicked out of them. And sometimes physically. And to make a long story short, it took a while because the vast majority of the emergency rooms and the docs were occupied taking care of COVID patients.
All right, now I'm not laughing at the situation with his. I don't even, you know what? I don't even know what the situation is.
It's a lie. It's false, is what it is.
Was it his friend's wife? Did he say? Well, whoever that may be, as Joe Biden would say, God bless you. I genuinely hope everyone's okay. But there's a few things that I don't understand. One is why people who insist on telling long, rambling stories always say at the end to keep a long story short. If that was your goal, failure. You know, mission not accomplished. The story has officially gone on for too long. That's number one. Number two is when he says that nurses and doctors are getting the living hell kicked out of them, sometimes physically, is this something I should be privy to? This feels like it would be newsworthy. Are doctors and nurses getting beat up? I'm asking, Jared. I want answers. You're the producer.
Apparently, they are. I don't know.
He means it, Jared.
In deadly earnest. I get it. But I haven't seen this, but I suppose I could check the White House call log.
And you know what? I don't know if you could, because a lot of that stuff is not actually available. It's personal. So mind your business, sir. Or as Jen Psaki would say, why do you need to know?
WikiLeaks. Come on, man.
But the other part of this is him calling up a hospital. Can you imagine being the person at that hospital? This is, ma'am, we have the President of the United States on the phone for you. It's like, oh, God. I mean, I can imagine back in the day you'd go, wow, really, the President of the United States? But if I were the person, the administrative person at the front desk, and someone said, we have the President of the United States, it would be an eye roll. It'd be, oh, geez, Louise. What's this guy going to say? And to be fair, as much as I hate on Joe Biden, Do I wish I had Joe Biden on my side? Yeah, I would say I do. Because you look at Hunter Biden, I don't know if people heard this, he sold, I think, 7 pieces. Really great stuff. Prince, not even the full, you will not believe how much this guy gets for Prince. Prince, he sold big time, made a nice little payday. And now if you're his other friend, you can get boosted to the top of the line at hospitals. It pays to know the big guy. It really does. And we'll get to all that. But let's go to the calls here. Nick, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, two quick things, Grace, separate topics. For the little boy there who decided to shoot up the high school, his personal friends, whatever, he was driving a 2019 Charger. That's worth about $25,000. I saw where his mommy and daddy live, I assume. I want to know how much money they're worth, and maybe they should be sued for the gun that possibly belonged to them.
Nathan, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Nathan.
Hey, Grace, how's it going? TGIF.
Oh, yes. Yes, sir.
I had a point about the Arlington shooting that you mentioned a minute ago, not to derail you guys too far. But the if you guys think about it for a second, even I think it might have been the sheriff made a huge point about how this shooting was not a mass shooting, not an indiscriminate incident. They really stressed that this was different. This isn't your typical American gun violence problem. This was a bullying retaliation gone wrong. But how do you think they're going to count this shooting? You know, all these gun violence, you know, watch organizations and media networks. You think they're going to exclude that incident and similar incidents when they try to say that, oh, you know, all these crazy mentally unstable nuts shouldn't be able to go out and buy guns at the drop of a hat?
Yeah, no, it's going to work. It's going to work for them in that sense. But Nathan, you know, I was thinking the same thing, because did you get the sense that they were trying? Because when you see the videos of this, of the brawl that took place, and then you hear about this teacher who's on, you know, who's fighting for his life, and this, there was also a pregnant person who fell down, and like, it was a horrible situation. Did you get the sense, Nathan, they were really trying to downplay this event?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's all sort of weaving into the narrative, because you know they obviously immediately love to jump to a racial angle the second any type of mass shooting happens, school or otherwise, you know. But then when you get to this, all of a sudden, there's nothing to see here. You know, this wasn't a mass shooting, you know, even though I think it meets the criteria because more than 3 people were shot in one instance. But no, it's not a school shooting either, because he didn't go in and fire indiscriminately. It was.
Yeah, no, Nathan, this is the quote. This was a student. They got into a fight and drew a weapon. This is not a random act of violence. This is not somebody attacking our schools. And I'm looking at the videos and the pictures of it. I'm like, well, it still seems pretty bad. Still seems like something that maybe the sister of the teacher who's now in the hospital would like you to look into. But
Come on, they're just talking.
And they act like it was a little scuffle, you know, by the lockers. Oh, you know, those two kids, that got out of hand quick. He drew a gun. He shot people. And now he's out of prison. He was holding a baby. That's a whole nother angle to this. Who is handing their newborn baby over to that guy? He's shooting people in a classroom, and then he comes home and you're like, hey, cousin Tim, have you met my baby yet? Absolute nuttiness happening right now. 844-500-4242. Thank you very much for the call. I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, why are they acting like this isn't a big deal? The guy went on the run and he shot all these people, and they finally get him. They let him right out of prison again. But everyone's pretending that this is NBD. Like, let's all move on with our weekends.
And like Nathan mentioned, the 3-person criteria for a mass shooting was met. So it will go into the statistics.
Yes.
When they quote the statistics of how many mass shootings there have been this year.
No, you're absolutely.
Even though it doesn't hit the news story. Like, there were a bunch of mass shootings in Massachusetts last year that you never heard about because involved more than 3 people.
You're absolutely right. It's a really good point, and I never really thought about it until now. 844-500-4242. When we get back, we'll take more of your calls, and I want to talk a little bit more about Joe Biden, and maybe I'll give you guys an update on Hunter Biden's artwork before we get to my favorite piece of the day. It's by Ben Weingarten. We had him on earlier in the week. He breaks down why it's so horrible that the FBI is now being sicked on these parents who are speaking out at school board meetings. And he kind of goes through it all and brings in January 6th and why this is such a pattern with the left. We will talk all about this when we get back. 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
A tiara when I came in here, because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Hunter Biden had an art exhibit, a gallery. I don't know what sophisticated people call them, but everyone could come and see the ink that he blew out of a straw onto some blank canvas. And it actually ended up being this again. This is like the jobs report number. This might be unexpected news to some people, but there were some interested buyers and some people with some big money to spend. At least five prints of Hunter Biden's artwork have already been sold for $75,000 each. Prints, Jared. That means you don't even get the frame, right?
That's just the print is just the rolled up.
Can you guys
canvas.
Tell I'm such a fan of art? When I see prints, I'm like, oh, well, that's a lot of money for a thing I could print out on the computer.
Right? But it doesn't have the authentic Hunter Biden whatever.
It's unclear who purchased the reproductions, which cost a fraction of the top price of $500,000 for an original piece by Biden's scandal-scarred son, or if any more were sold after the L.A. show opened. Well, if we've learned anything from this White House, it's I'm sure we're going to know all of the details, because they keep us abreast of all of this important stuff that they're very transparent about. Joe Biden is speaking now, and we will pull all of this and play it for you in little snippets on the other side. But, Jared, can I... we're going to have this new segment, and, you know, Howie often says, when people have these connections, like these, when nepotism occurs in state government, he'll oftentimes say it's a nationwide search. Well, this is going to be called our Small World segment, and we have an update. Cut zero, please.
It's a small world after all. It's a small, small world.
Here's how small of a world it is. You know the Facebook whistleblower who's been all over the news this week? And no one's clicking on those stories because no one really cares. Well, it turns out that the Facebook whistleblower, the blonde woman you keep seeing on your TV screen, she was revealed to be part of the big tech censors at the center of the 2020 election meddling. Yes, the people who also censored the New York Post reporting on the artist known as Hunter Biden. And before you say, okay, well, she worked at Twitter, but everyone there is in charge of monitoring, you know, misinformation. No, no, no. She was assigned to a 200 member. That's not a lot of people when you think about how big Twitter is. 200 member civic integrity unit, where she worked until after the 2020 presidential election. Here's my favorite part. After their efforts were successful and Biden won the election, Facebook dissolved the unit. It's like the fact checkers. We don't need this anymore. What is this even for? Without Trump, do we really need a civic integrity unit? I'm reading, by the way, from a piece in the Federalist. I'll tweet that out. We will be back. We're going to talk about the National School Boards Association and also Chris Bedford coming up at 1:30. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started. It's The Grace Curley Show.